Welcome back to the Fostering Conversation podcast presented by Welcome Home Youth Advocacy. This is the last episode of 2024, so we want to recap where we've been and talk about where we're going. Sitting around the table today is Mike Schaefer, Denny Yoder, and myself, Brant Nine. Mike, go ahead and kick us off.
Thanks so much, Brant. Yeah, today, like you said, is going to look a little different on the podcast. We're just going to kind of recap where Welcome Home has been and where we've gone over the last, I don't know, 12 months. Just take a look back at where this has come and what God has, you know, brought us through with this whole thing, and kind of starting from a little bit of nowhere to where we're at today, and just how that's looked and the excitement that we've had for it, and just kind of the things that we've seen happen in the last year. So
if somebody is brand new to listening to the podcast, never heard of Welcome Home Youth Advocacy, they saw this shared on their Facebook or wherever, or a friend sent it to them to listen to, can you explain to the listener what is Welcome Home?
Yeah, Welcome Home, really, I think it can be best encapsulated by, really, we're trying to be, you know, a community for people in foster and adopted situations, for kids and families, and to be, you know, God's hands and feet for those people, and to be around them and support them. There's so much going on in that community where they feel a lack of support. And so just to provide them some different things to show that support in their community. Mm.
So really this started off as, Mike, you being discipled, and it grew into this question of what is your purpose? What is your why? And then it started to blossom from there. And so Denny's in the room as well, and he was a big part of that process. So can you guys kind of, I don't know, talk back and forth, give us some context to how did this come to be, and what was the process of creating your own 501c3 nonprofit to serve this community of people?
Yeah, I can remember over a year ago. I don't know when it all started from actually moving into Welcome Home, but mm-hmm. I can remember the conversation that Mike and I had. And I sat across the table from Mike, and I looked at him and said, Mike, God creates us for a purpose. Mm. What is your purpose in life? What do you want? What do you feel God is moving you towards? And I don't, Mike can answer this himself, but as we sat here and talked, I think that was a question that maybe Mike had never really walked through with another individual in talking through this purpose. Mm. And I don't know if it was that same day, but within days, Mike and I sat down again, and he said, I don't know if this can ever happen, but here's what I've been thinking. And he just started laying it out on the table, and I looked back at him and said, what's keeping you from it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I look at that, and I look at that time period, and, you know, that question of, you know, what is my purpose, I think that's something I struggled with for a really long time, and you just kind of, you know, you float through life, you know, and that's kind of what I was doing. And when you don't have a purpose and you don't have something you're focused on, you just are kind of, you go with the current. And that's kind of what was happening to me in life. And that's how I ended up in jail. And that's how, you know, the process of Denny meeting with me even started. You know, and I was at not a great place mentally at all. 'Cause I just was like, I don't know what the point of all this is, you know, but, you know, Welcome Home was something that I'd been placed on my heart, you know, years ago. And I avoided it and ignored it. And then when Denny brought that up and asked me about it, that was the first thing that was put on my mind again. And, you know, it was such a positive and powerful thing to have somebody just respond and like, okay, how do we do that? Let's look at it and let's move forward with it. Not, gosh, Mike, you've done this and you've had this terrible thing happen and you're this and you're that. And that to me, I think, was so huge to have a male figure that's, you know, older than me in my life to just support me. And that's something I don't ever really remember experiencing, you know, at all. And so that was huge for me.
Yeah. So again, for if we're speaking to the listener as if you don't know what Welcome Home is, Mike's story is one of many who have gone through the foster care system, and he's shared his testimony on past episodes, so we encourage you to go back and listen to that. But his purpose was derived from his experience. And a lot of what Mike has shared with me and with others throughout this whole process is, just like you said, prior to that moment, I call it a moment of impact, prior to that moment of impact of you going to jail, getting out, and then starting to meet with Denny, reluctantly at the time, you were going with the current, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And Denny sits down with you and says, what is your purpose? And all of a sudden, now there's a target. And you're fighting against the current a little bit, the current of what you were used to. And hey, when the current was going well in your past, you've explained this before, you would sabotage it if it wouldn't fail because you didn't want to get hurt again. And so, I mean, your story is remarkable. I encourage the listener to go back and listen to past episodes where Mike has explained that and walked through his story with different people. But purpose gives us a target. It gives us something to go after. And I've listened to many pastors talk about your why, and I've heard many, even just many people talk about their calling, right? And I think that this is where it started. This is where the rubber met the road. Your calling, first and foremost, and this is what Denny walked with you through for a year or so, your calling first and foremost is Jesus. I mean, that's our calling. But then we have a purpose to fulfill in that calling. And it's pretty remarkable watching you fulfill that purpose, Mike. I don't know if you guys want to touch on, so you get together, you talk about purpose, you have, Mike, you say something along the lines of, I have this idea, I don't know if it's achievable, but there's something in you that, like, that could give me energy, that could give me joy, that could be my purpose. You didn't just start from scratch and say, okay, let's build it ourselves. Where did you go? What did you do? And who did you talk to?
Yeah. One of the things to start this whole thing was, okay, so you're thinking about this, Mike, what do you want to do in laying this out? And so we sat down, took a piece of paper, literally, and started writing. Okay, what's the first step? And we come up with a name. And that didn't come right away, but Mike had this idea and then developed the logo. And as we continue to do that, then within probably 2 months, we said, what if we talk to other individuals, other groups? And so in all of this, what's been fun is, as I detailed and laid some of these things out, and then I would shoot them off in an email to Mike and say, go through this, see what needs to happen, what can we accomplish? I pretty much just kind of outlined it. And Mike, he did the work. He started building and started putting together the logo. He made the contacts for us to meet. And I would say our first meeting was pretty rough.
Yeah, it was, for sure. You know, I think it's so funny, and this whole process, I believe agree with me. I think you can look back at all the things that have happened and all the steps that have taken place, and you can be like, wow, God was truly in all of that and made all these things happen. Because Welcome Home, in my own head, I was like, okay, the easiest way to do this is to use my home church as a fiscal sponsor for this nonprofit. That's going to be the best way to do it. And so, you know, we started going down that path of making that happen and how that looked. And, you know, we got into it, and, you know, that's when we kind of pulled Bran in, and, you know, we got to a place where that we started to research that, and we were like, man, that's going to be a lot of red tape to go through. That's going to just be a lot of hassle. It's not going to be an easy path. How about you start researching being your own independent 501c3? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So, you know, started doing that. And not anything I had ever done before. I had no clue how to do that, how to start that, what that looked like. you know, and we had gotten, you know, quotes from people about what it would cost to have a lawyer come in and take care of that for us. And we were, you know, thinking about looking at like $2,500 or whatever to pay the lawyer. And, you know, at the end of the day, the lawyer charges $250, mm-hmm. you know, which was amazing. And I did most of that paperwork myself. He just guided me. I had some questions and he really, really was great in that process. And, you know, and then people told me, well, it can take, you know, years to get your approval from the IRS. And, you know, that can be a really long process. And so I filed and 2.5 weeks later, we got our approval. And, you know, so that was a pretty amazing thing. And yeah, like Denny said, the first meeting we had with a different organization, they were not real positive with us. And, you know, in the past, that really would have just kind of shut me down. You know, and there, you guys might hear some noise from vehicles outside.
There's right construction now. Happening at our church. So, apologize for that. Yeah.
But that's one of those things that I would have, you know, that would have been like, okay, there's a roadblock. I'm not doing this. It's, you know, but we just kind of kept pushing forward and didn't let that stop us. And yeah, it was, you know, I think that's such a neat thing. And
I'll interrupt you here, Mike, and I'll say this. Yes, it was a little rough, but I think the one statement that was made in that meeting that caused a bit of concern ended up being one of the driving forces that pointed you exactly where you needed to go in taking your story and developing it. Mm. And that became the impetus that pushed you into, hey, I can do this because of my experience. God has prepared me for this because of what I've walked through. Now, God, how can I take my past and now put it into a positive impact in people's lives? And I think that even drove the stake deeper, even though it was a tough meeting there. I think that drove the stake deeper for you, Mike.
Well, and what's interesting, that organization in the last month has actually reached out to me and wants Welcome Home to be a part of something they're doing. So it's really come full circle in that whole process. But we got to meet one of the first meetings we had, well, second meeting I think we had was with Mark Michael mm-hmm. over at the center in Napanee. And just he was really encouraging and started meeting with me a little bit and just kind of walking me through some of those steps to start, you know, a nonprofit and what that looks like, because he's worked in that sector for a while now. And, you know, and then honestly, when I got to start speaking and sharing my story with different Sunday school classes and different groups, a lot of networking happened at that point. I think God placed the right people in those settings to hear what I was sharing. And people just came to me and said, hey, I want you to meet this person. I want you to meet this person. You need to connect with this person. And that's really been amazing. And that's really helped grow what we're doing just in that way.
Mm-hmm. So if we look at this from a metaphoric standpoint, the foundation of the building, right, of what we're talking about, the foundation of Welcome Home is really your story. And then you guys just kind of referenced building up the framework, right? And what that looked like, and there were some change orders, if you will, Denny. We're going through a renovation here at church, and I'm becoming pretty literate with some of the lingo and construction. But you're building up the framework, and there's some things that need to change, and there's some things that need to be added. You're revising in that way, and it seems like we're at a point now where we're adding the walls, and we're finishing up the roof. And the shell of the building of Welcome Home is closing in. And where we're headed feels like the finishings. And you can still elaborate on some of the things that we've been through in 2024, and you guys can go further and deeper into those conversations because there's a lot there. So as they come to your mind, share those things. But as we think of the finishings of where we want this to go in 2025 and beyond, what does that look like? What does the next steps look like for us? And we've detailed that out in a lot of previous episodes, the needs, the hopes and desires. But in your guys' minds, now that we've kind of come full circle in a lot of ways, we've built our metaphoric home, where are we going?
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch on this, and we touch on it a lot, but I think it's one of the bigger things with where we're at right now. And, you know, a couple of months ago, I sat with our board and kind of was like, okay, you know, we talk about what we want to do and what we need to make that happen. Let's shift our focus and let's do some things that we can physically do right now. And let's focus on those things for now. And so we've been able to do some of that, but I think it's imperative in this next year. I think us having a physical location opens up a lot of doors for us. And I think that's a super important next step. I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but I think that's one of the bigger things for us at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's another one of those hiccups that we've had where we've wanted to do something. We actually had what we thought that's the perfect location. But like you alluded to this, I think Denny, there's been moments of where things are going really fast, right? The meeting with the lawyer, getting your 501c3, and it was like, man, this is all happening. Got your website up. Resources were kind of, we were compiling those, and we were able to do so much so fast. And then it was like the season of, I don't know if I'm putting words into your mouth, Mike, but it almost seemed like you were discouraged because it was like, now it's slowed way down and we're waiting. But this is available, and if I'm walking in God's purpose, then this should become available and be ours. And then time passes, and still we haven't achieved or grown to what we thought we wanted to in a fast amount of time. And so now that slipped through the cracks, and that's no longer available. And so there have been times of what I'm trying to say is there's been times of we've gone real far, real fast. And then I feel like there's been times when God has said, all right, just wait. And I don't know if you want to elaborate on that or talk through those feelings and then relate that back to how does that affect you and your story and where God's taught you, or excuse me, where he's brought you? Because in the past, your response to that could have been completely different than it has been.
Yeah, I think that's something I actually talk with Denny about quite a bit. You know, there are times where I'm like, I feel like the stuff with Welcome Home, it's a ton of stuff that happens all at once, and then we slow down for a little bit, and then there's a ton of stuff that happens all at once. And yeah, that in the beginning I did get really discouraged because I'm like, why are we slowing down? Why isn't anything happening? But I think in, you know, meeting with Denny and talking through that and then just kind of working through some of that and praying about it and, you know, just having time with God and having those conversations. I said this to Denny a couple weeks ago. I think I can look back now and see, like, God has helped evolve me with the evolution of Welcome Home.
Yeah,
I had to be ready to do some of these things, and I think that's why we got slowed down in certain places, because I wasn't ready for certain things to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I had the ability to share at church a couple of weeks ago to the whole congregation. And then, you know, through that, I was able to, you know, be interviewed by the local news station. And I think, you know, 8 months ago, there's no way I could have done that.
Yeah.
Without first starting small with the Sunday school classes and the smaller groups like that. So I think God had a plan in all that in making that happen. It just, in my head, I was like, why isn't this happening right now? Denny says a lot, our God's always an on-time God. Mm. But that's not in our time frame, and we don't necessarily understand that, and we can't see that. So I think for me, it's, you know, I look at it as, okay, God, you know, I might not always agree, but I know your timing's right in this. And so however that looks, I think is, yeah, that's kind of how my mindset's changed. Because like you said, before I would get so discouraged, and I would just be like, well, you know, let's not, because I feel like I'm going to fail. You know, if it's not happening, I'm failing. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not necessarily true. You know, that doesn't mean just because it's not happening right now doesn't mean it'll never happen.
Yeah.
And I had to get to that place to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Denny, what are your thoughts as you sit here and you listen as being somebody who's walked with Mike through this whole process? What are some things that are popping up in your mind of things you've went through or things, growth areas you've seen in Mike, and just exciting things that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, what he just mentioned, learning to wait on God's meticulous providence in moving certain things, and then watching Mike shift to understand, oh, yeah, we can do this. And God pointed. I mean, I'm thinking of a couple events we've had. You know, we've had the thing at the ice cream shop. We've had the thing at the bowling alley. We've done, you've done a couple other events where you've set up and been involved in community events and stuff. And then we've got a game night coming up in January. All these things that were part of, we kept talking, but then all of a sudden Mike comes back and he goes, you know what? I think God's moving me in the direction of let's do what we can do and not worry about what we can't do. And there's been such growth in his sensitivity to hearing that. And yeah, I watch him struggle through some of this, and I sit back and I'll look at him and smile and ask a question pointed specific to the struggle, and we'll start thinking through and talking through, okay, so how do we address that? What is the response that God wants out of us in some of these things? And so, yes, I can say that the Mike I see sitting across the table from me now, spiritually, just experientially, and even in his business acumen, it's not the same Mike.
Yeah.
And it's been fun watching that develop. And the cool thing about all this is all I've done is just mentioned a few things. God's worked in him, and he's been the one that is, and Mike responding to what God wants to do in this as God. And that's why I think it's been, for Mike, I'll say this to you, this has been a success because of your willingness to listen to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, we had this conversation, I believe it was last week. I think we're so conditioned and we get so wrapped up in measuring our success in monetary gain. And I think with this and with what we're doing, you have to look at success in a very different way. And I, you know, was so blessed last week. Last week was such an amazing week to, you know, we had a group of guys, about 15 or 20 guys, come to a lady's house. I mean, and it was like 15 degrees outside, you know, and it was at 8:30 at night till about 11 o'clock at night. And they did some landscaping work and some stuff for this woman. And it was absolutely amazing to see this group of guys just come out, do the work, you know, and just an incredible thing. And I think for me, you know, we had a meeting with another gentleman last week that, he saw when I shared at church, and he was like, I've been praying for, you know, a number of weeks, you know, to just ask God, like, God, how do you want to use me? How can I use my gifts to serve you? And he's like, I saw your story. And I was like, oh, that's it. That's the answer right there. And I think for me, that was something that I never expected getting into Welcome Home. I wanted to help, you know, kids and families in this foster and adopted community. I never thought Welcome Home would be a conduit to help other people serve. Mm. And I think that's such an amazing thing that's come of this. You know, just a byproduct God had planned that it was not on my radar at all. And that to me is a success.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge success in my book.
Can you expound on why those guys went and helped with some landscaping and what the other jobs were as much as you can? I know there's some confidential aspects to that, but why was that exciting to see from your perspective? What were the needs?
I mean, I think, you know, this is a single woman who's fostered for a number of years. She's got five or six teenage girls at home, and these girls come from some pretty bad situations. And they, because of the trauma they've been through, they can't really be around men. And that's why they're with a single woman. Mm. And for me, I think just to this group of guys, it's a men's group that meets here in Waukee on Tuesday nights. And, you know, they were looking for a service project. And I connected with one of the leaders of that group, but he owns a local business. He was like, hey, you know, if this can fit into our time frame, this would be amazing for us to do. We struggle to find things that fit in our time frame because we meet late at night, we have weird hours. And I said, yeah, let me talk to the homeowner and see if we can make that happen. And I think, you know, for me, the really exciting thing is I don't think these guys will understand, you know, just what it is for a group of guys to go do those things for these women selflessly without looking for anything in return, without asking for anything. You know, these girls aren't used to seeing men do that. And unfortunately, a lot of kids in foster care and adoptive situations, they come from either, you know, an absentee father or an abusive father, or, you know, there's just that breakdown where there's no male figure in the home. And so to see just a group of men just doing it because that's what they're called to do and they feel like that's what God wants them to do is such an amazing thing. And I think it's such a great example of just showing love, you know.
Mm-hmm. What else? What else do you want to share to the listener? And then, you know, outside of that, Mike, how would you or Denny encourage someone who is in need or wants to help but doesn't know where to go or what resources to trust? How would you encourage people who are looking to get involved or need assistance?
Yeah, if people want to get involved or need assistance, they definitely can reach out to us through our website at welcomehomeyouth.org. You can email me directly at mikes@welcomehomeyouth.org. I would be happy to have, you know, a conversation with anybody that's interested in trying to help or needs assistance in any way. I know it's wintertime, it's getting cold. We have a lot of winter clothing for like infants and toddlers. If that's a need for people, we have some household items and stuff that we can help people with as well. If people want to volunteer, we've got some exciting stuff coming in the new year. We're looking to start our trades training stuff, and we need volunteers for that. What we're trying to do there is, you know, keep these classes fairly small for these kids to give them some, you know, some training and some trades that they can carry with them for the rest of their lives. But I think the idea for that is we want to be able to pair these kids one-on-one with a mentor while going through that. And we want that relationship to last beyond just those training courses. We want that to be, you know, an established relationship for these kids to give them a stable relationship. It's so important for them to have those things in their life. And so if that's something you think you'd be interested in, yeah, just reach out to us. And there'll be a process, an application process that we have for that. But, yeah, it'd be something that's really neat to do.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think one of the things that I'm excited to see in 25 is, and I'm going to put a parentheses, you can't see me making air quotes, but a parentheses in the adventure we're going to have in writing. And when I say writing, writing down the story, writing down the experiences, beginning to put together some thoughts in print, even to the point that as some of these thoughts come together, we can look at a devotional. Mm. I don't know if it'll be a 15-day devotional, 30-day devotional. The Lord knows how that's going to come together. But again, God has put the right people in Mike's path and brought very clearly the opportunity to Mike to allow this to happen. And so I'm excited to see what's going to develop from that standpoint in 25, just to see how far that goes and what the beginning looks like.
On that, God keeps hitting me over the head with that, keeps putting people in my path to tell me that I need to write my story down. And so, yeah, I have learned through past mistakes that I should probably listen, because when I don't, things tend not to go so great. One thing I just wanted to touch on briefly here is, you know, we're having this conversation and, you know, it's the holiday season. And I think, you know, I just kind of wanted to touch on that from the perspective of a, you know, former foster kid, adopted kid. I think the holidays are such a time where, you know, societally we're told that, well, you get to go home for the holidays. You get to see your family for the holidays. You know, there's so many songs about it and movies about it and so many different things. And how does that look, you know, for a foster kid, for a kid that doesn't know their family, for a kid that doesn't have a permanent home? that can be a really confusing thing and a confusing time. I still struggle with that. I'm, you know, 42 years old, and I still struggle with that because this time of year just brings up, I don't have a normal family. I don't have a family life that looks like that. I don't go home. We don't talk to each other. Like, I don't know what that looks like. And, you know, there's a sadness that comes with that. And there's an anger that comes with that, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a resentment that comes with that. So why couldn't I have that? You know, why don't I deserve that? Mm-hmm. You know, these are emotions and thoughts that are brought up. And I think, you know, I think a lot of foster and adoptive parents see a change in their kids this time of year because of those things. Mm-hmm. I would imagine I'd have a hard time, and I'm glad I didn't go through this, but for kids that have, you know, every now and again visitation with their bio parents, but they don't get to spend the holiday with their bio parents, how does that look? How does a kid wrap their head around that? You know, that's a really, really difficult thing. I don't know if you guys as parents have any perspective on this whatsoever, but it's a tough thing for sure.
Yeah.
I know when you and I sat last week, Mike, and we talked through this a little bit, and we talked about the holidays, and you mentioned to me as an adult how you're processing what that means now in your life and how that whole process of, okay, let's pack up, let's go, we're going to spend a few days, and that doesn't happen. And I know we prayed about it and we talked, but in all of that, I sat back and I asked myself, okay, how does your story and what you share in this time affect me, and what can I do about it? And I'll be real honest with you, I'm not sure I have a good answer at this point in time, but I know one thing I do have is I'm aware now of something that I wasn't aware of before. Yeah, I thought about the kids, but I never thought about how that carries it into long-term into life, into that adult stage when you're now trying to navigate with your family mm-hmm. and your kids. Wow, there's a whole new aspect there that I think we have to be aware of in understanding the long-term impact. It's not just at 5 or 6 years old. Now here it is at 41, 42 years old that you're walking that out as an adult.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, after I got adopted, and I've shared this, you know, my parents got divorced very shortly thereafter. And so I had two Christmases every year growing up, and I think love was conveyed as gifts. So you would come to my house, and there just was an overwhelming amount of gifts. Ruthie even talks about this to this day, my wife, because that's how I show affection in a lot of ways. And she's like, it's overwhelming how many gifts you buy and give these kids. Like, it's just, she says, it's wild to me. I didn't grow up like that. But I think, you know, I think we try to equate love with gift giving. And like, well, that's how much I love you because I've given you this much. But there again, that ties into, well, what's my value then? My value is monetary. My value is you know, it's these possessions. And that's how you equate that as a kid. And I think that's a tough thing. It definitely has affected the way that I celebrate holidays as an adult. And I get very, and this is, again, this goes back to my control issues. I get very possessive of holidays because I want it to look a certain way because that's what I want, you know, because I want to feel safe in that moment and that time because it didn't look like that for me for years and years and years. You know, so I think, yeah, it's still a fight, you know, and that it's such a wild thing to be able to look back at that now and be like, well, that's definitely affected the way that I do this as an adult. You know, it doesn't end in your childhood. If it's not dealt with and it's not talked about and it's not worked through, you know, that stuff keeps going on and on as you age.
Thanks for joining us this season. Welcome Home is only just beginning. I encourage you to go back and listen to our other episodes and check out our website, welcomehomeyouth.org. We'll be back in 2025, and we look forward to all that God has in store. Until then, we pray that God blesses you and your families this Christmas season.